And now, Scottish Resources 10 to 12. Mark Goodyear takes us on a guided tour of the Radio 1 breakfast show, and Simon Mayo explains why getting up at 5 in the morning is worthwhile.
Wake up! You know you gotta, you don't wanna, but you gotta, 'cause it's time to wake up! Take a look at the clock, shake the sleep from your head, get yourself out of bed, 'cause Simon is here to put your system in shock!
Well, I suppose I have a couple of minutes more, if that's the time. Just till the next weather bit.
21 minutes to 8, Miss D.
Very, very different kind of weather from last week, thank goodness. We moved to the north of Wales, the northwest, and the northeastern parts of England. While things start to become more wintry here, the temperatures drop a bit. And though there are going to be some bright spells on the go, the wintry showers are going to win through, making it quite a sharp, brisk day. Northwest
of Scotland, much, much colder. Yuck. Cold. Wet again. Right, a shower, then 3 minutes of breakfast, my teeth, then the 8:15 train. I hate mornings. Well, is that how you start your day? It's awful getting out of bed, isn't it? And you probably have the added hassle of having mum or dad yelling at you every minute to get up or to get in or get out of the bathroom. And if you're like me at that hour in the morning, then the radio feels like the only friend you have in the world.
Anyway, would you please say a big hello to everyone in the third year BSc part-time at Napier Polytechnic in Edinburgh, Simon. They all work for GEC Ferranti in Edinburgh and have just started their mid-term exams. Wish them all the best, lots of luck, especially Ian, who I am lucky enough to be marrying next year. Looking forward to a few good sessions.
Have you ever wondered who decides what happens when on The Breakfast Show? For example, who decides about the competitions or when the jingles are used? Who chooses the music? And is Simon Mayo really that alive at 6 o'clock in the morning? Well, I've been rooting around behind the scenes at 1FM, and we're going to see what life is really like at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yes, 5 a.m. That's when they start. But before we do that, what is The Breakfast Show all about? Is it just music? Johnny Beerling is the boss of Radio 1FM, and he tells us what the show tries to do.
What it's doing is setting the tone for the rest of the day, and probably has the broadest audience of the day, because at that time of the morning you've got all sections of the family listening. I guess there's a fight between mum and dad, who probably want to listen to Radio 4 or Radio Scotland in this case, or the youngsters who want to listen to pop music. And what we're trying to do is to present a programme which is lively, fast-moving, entertaining and setting people up for the day.
Simon agrees with this and explains why radio, or sound broadcast as he calls it, is important in the mornings.
If anybody listens to the radio, they will tend to listen in the morning, because people are very busy doing stuff, driving, getting up, moving from one room to the other. TV's no good, but it's no good anyway, but I mean, it's no good watching telly in the morning, so you need to have sound broadcasting, so therefore radio is at its most powerful. So, it is informational, obviously, it's educational slightly, perhaps, but mainly it is entertainment. I mean, it's a music show and an entertainment show, so that hopefully what will, I mean, most people will hear about 20 minutes, half an hour, and in that half an hour they will hear a roundup of news, they'll hear a roundup of travel, they'll hear a roundup of the weather, some of their favourite records, and hopefully a little giggle in the process.
People have lots of reasons for listening to the radio.
If it's bad weather or something, I listen to Radio Clyde to see if the trains are cancelled or something like that to get to school. But normally it's Radio 1 because I prefer the music and things on that.
You've got to have sort of a really lively DJ so that you're sort of like, you wake up in the morning and like you, because well, if it's a bad day outside, like you don't want to hear some good instead sort of glum. And
Radio 1 because they don't have adverts like Radio Clyde, and they play stuff from the mid-80s and the early 80s rather than the new stuff, which I don't like at all.
I don't ever have time to watch television in the morning, like, whereas if I'm listening to radio I can do things well and listen to the radio.
Yeah, listen to Radio 1. Well, it gives you good information on, you know, traffic. Yeah, I listen to Simon Mayo in the morning. I get a lift to school usually, so it gives you, you know, traffic reports, etc., weather reports, anything. You know what the day's going to be like. He's very audible, you can hear him very well clearly, and he's got good tone, balance, and he makes just very good listening.
Those people all have different reasons for tuning in to the radio, whether it's local radio or Radio 1FM. But how does the BBC know what kind of programmes people want to listen to? Well, they do lots of research and surveys, and they find out what age group listens at what time of day. Is it mostly women, or men, or grannies, or granddads? And more importantly, what do they want to hear? Rick is the producer of The Breakfast Show, and he tells us a bit more about the audience figures and the numbers of people listening.
I get sets of figures every month, which I can look at, and the figures are broke. There is a graph which shows how much our listening has increased from last year, and last year's graph was increased from the year before. So ever since Simon's been on the programme, the listenership has gone up. The figures are then broken down into age groups and socio-economic groups, and we cut across the whole range. We are strong with 12 to 24-year-olds, 24 to 35-year-olds, and 35-plus. We pay a lot of attention to those figures. If I was to look at them and see that 86% of women were listening to our show and 14% of men, then we'd obviously be doing something wrong, because that should be, as much as it can be, an equal figure, 50-50. So we do pay attention.
All this information helps the producer put the programme together. Well, Rick, as I said, is the producer of The Breakfast Show, and that means he leads the team. But what exactly does he do?
The general producer's role is to build the programme from start, put all the records in, make sure that the programme feels all right, and try and make sure that the jock feels at ease and is happy doing what he's doing, and he's being told things when something's going to happen. And so they are on the case.
But who chooses the music? And how's that choice made?
I will pick all the oldies for the programme, and all the oldies will always be off the back of some information. There'll be an oldie out of the news, there'll be an oldie at the top of the hour, times where people, you know, we feel that people want to hear a good stonking old tune. On the other musical content of the programme, Radio One uses a playlist where every Monday morning, myself and half a dozen other producers sit down in a room, listen to records and decide, yeah, this is good stuff. You know, this is what Radio 1 should be playing to help give our image and sound, give it a consistent flow.
And how is it that all the programme producers don't play the same records on their programmes? I mean, everyone wants to play the latest hits.
There's a computer which we use, which will randomly select playlist records for us to programme at certain times of the day. I go for a completely mainstream feel to this programme. We're not adventurous musically at all, and it's important that we're not adventurous musically at all, because people are getting up, some people are going to work, some people have got hangovers. So the music flavour of the programme is very mainstream. The oldies are big stonking hits, and all the playlist material is stuff that Simon and I feel is not going to be too abrasive to people that time of the morning.
So Rick is responsible for the music with the help of a computer. But who else is on the team?
There's a production assistant, Sue, and there's Simon, Diane and Rod and myself. And we have some technical guys next door, studio managers, who unfortunately we don't have the same people every day. But the people next door who balance our sound only do it because they like it, because it's a very, very busy show and very demanding.
Now we're getting technical. What do they do? Well, before anyone can be heard on the air, the engineer does a test to check that all the voices are at the same level and that no one is sounding too quiet or too loud. Usually, people say any old thing to do the level check. Just listen to Simon, Diane Oxbury, who does the weather and travel, and Rod McKenzie, the newsreader.
So we'll do it for real first of all. Oh, gosh, I'm there already. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello, I've been up all night. Yes, chat, BBC Radio 1 FM with Rod McKenzie in a frenzy. Rod, then, let's have some level from you, please.
OK, well, just testing the mic here for level, just checking everything's working, coming up on 4 minutes to six now. And pretty busy news day for you, Simon, in fact.
Oxford.
Looks like a terrible day, rainy all over the country, cloudy when it's
Make
not
it up.
Rainy, it's going to be dull. Cloudy but mild over the whole of the country.
Yes. Do you want to roll in? Oh, you are.
Rolling.
Oh, you already are. Secretly rolling.
Wait, hang on, stop. What's all this right rolling business? Well, it's very simple. It just means the tape which the engineer uses to record Diane is ready and rolling and waiting to record. So off Diane goes, reading a travel piece about roadworks and accidents, having gathered all the information from various sources, including the police and the AA.
Well, traffic's already building up on the A404 link between the M40 at High Wycombe and the M4 near to Maidenhead. You can allow for long rush hour queues at the Henley roundabout, which connects to the A4. And I'm afraid there have already been substantial
substantial falls of snow in the north of Scotland, particularly around Dromokta and Braemar. Extra care is going to be needed on the other roads.
The Breakfast Show is useful to everyone all over Britain. Not only is there great music, but it provides valuable information on weather and travel for commuters and drivers. Diane collects information about all of the country, not just London.
Lots of information, lots of travel. Of course, it's particularly important that we regionalise the travel, and probably listeners in Scotland won't be aware that when Diane is doing travel bulletins for the rest of the country, down here in the south of England, she's doing in exactly the same time a bulletin that's relevant to this area, the southeast of England. And we do this with clever technical switching, and nobody ever hears the join. But of course, the people in Glasgow don't want to hear about our problems down here in the Blackpool Tunnel. So lots of regional travel, weather forecast. Everybody wants to know what sort of clothing to wear to set themselves up for the day, and lots of fun too.
1FM at 10 to 8, Rod has these stories.
Probation officers are set to take industrial action in protest at a growing number of attacks on them. They're being balloted by their union. There were 2,500 serious assaults last year.
Another important item on The Breakfast Show is the news with Rod McKenzie. Many people want to hear the headlines told in a brief and exciting way.
Sylvester Stallone has revealed he pops 65 vitamin pills a day in a bid to fight off the ravages of wrinkles. He also injects an anti-aging drug 18 times a year. He says getting old really scares him.
He's a plank.
That's the headline.
And if you miss one news break, you can always hear another one 20 minutes later. So, after the engineers have checked their levels and Rod and Diane have got their first news and weather info together, it's...
One FM, Simon Mayo.
Gary King, he's a whistler. Thank you, Gary. It's almost 1 minute past six, and here we are at breakfast on Monday.
But how do Simon and the team know what mood to be in for the show? Some people need to be woken up slowly. Others are awake the minute they put their foot on the floor.
It's a fine balance that you have to tread between being too raucous. It's like someone who gets up and starts singing when you're feeling all fed up. You know, you've got to tread the fine balance between too hysterical and as tired as they are, so... It's a difficult one.
The balance that has to be made isn't only about how lively to be, but also about what items go into the programme. Apart from the essential things like weather and news and travel, there are some pieces which usually have some connection with one of Rod McKenzie's wacky news stories. The day we were in the studio, this is the item that caused a lot of laughter.
I'm having to remake the ending of Julia Roberts' latest film because it's not happy enough. Apparently, preview audiences were horrified that Julia left her dying boyfriend for another man at the end of Dying Young.
Oh, dear.
It'll be released later this year. You wouldn't approve of that sort of thing, I'm sure, Simon. Around the world in 20 minutes with 1FM Headline News at 6:12. Thank you.
Well, can you guess what happened next? Rick decided to become Julia Roberts. And with the team, he tried to remember the endings of famous films and make up different ones.
Welcome, please, today's guest producer. Yes, it's Julia Roberts.
Hello, Simon.
Hello, Julia. Now, this has inspired you, then, to remake some old classics.
Yes, Simon, we're remaking Nightmare on Elm Street, where Freddy Krueger joins the Meals on Wheels service and helps the elderly.
Yep.
We're remaking Fatal Attraction, where the rabbit actually lives.
Yes.
Silence of the Lambs, we've remade that totally. That's now about the sheepdog trials in Keswick. And
yes.
Love Story, Ellie McGraw actually gets up at the end and says, "I'm only kidding."
By this time, there's a lot going on in the studio. The producer's busy thinking up funny film endings. There are phone calls to be taken for the quiz and for the chart beater, which is where the listeners call the programme with their choice for record of the week for the coming week. And, of course, the number of calls is a good guide to the number of people listening. The first person people talk to on a phone-in is Nikki, one of the production assistants. She has a tough job selecting callers for the quiz.
Hello, Radio on Breakfast Show. Yeah, you're going to have to call back at 8. The lines are open then for the quiz. No, I'm afraid you can't, no. Yeah, I know it's very difficult, but you could well be lucky. OK.
These calls are passed on to Rick, who lines up possible quiz winners for Simon.
What's your name, where are you from? No, it's all right, Mark. You're going to be line five. Make sure you keep yourself standing nice and bright and jolly and awake for us, OK? Line five. Best of luck. You'll be on green. Hello, Radio 1. Good morning.
Hello, Mark. It's the engineer here. Can you hear the program?
And which reckon it is, Nick?
All right?
Yeah, fine.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong there. Bye. Radio 1, hello. Can I help you? Yeah, what do you think it is? Full up with those, I'm afraid. Try later. Radio 1, hello. Can I help you? Yeah, so what do you think the answer is? The what, sorry? Uh-huh, why do you think that? What's your name, where you're from? You sound to me like you've just got up. You're still in bed. Oh, I say, missus.
Speed is essential. Rick has no time for a chat. He needs to find out the answer and tell the engineer a name so the engineer can line up the call for Simon and have it ready to go on the air.
Dorian, it's the engineer here. Can you hear the programme coming down the phone, all right?
Pull up, I'm afraid. Radio 1, hello? Can I help you? What's your name, where you from?
Dorian?
Yes?
Hi, it's the engineer here. Can you hear the programme coming down the phone, all right?
Line to Chocker Gary.
You can.
Radio 1, hello?
You haven't got a radio nearby, have you?
Pull up, I'm afraid. Bye. Radio 1, hello?
Thanks.
Radio 1, hello?
The engineer needs to know if the caller can hear the programme down the phone, because they'll be talking to Simon, and if they leave their radio on, it causes a problem. So remember, it's quite funny, really, if you want to be on the radio by phone, you better turn off that set.
Simon and the Breakfast Crew, Radio 1 FM.
Well, what sort of picture do you have now? Loads of calls coming in? Simon playing records and trying to find out who's on the phone? Rick desperately getting info on the quiz? And Diane and Rod scouring the computers, newspapers and calling the Met Office for updated material for their items? And yet it all sounds so calm and friendly. So, what's the key to its success, Rick?
Communication. And certainly with this programme, teamwork. And I think that's why we sound as friendly as we do on air, because we all get on well off air. And I think that's very important.
The Breakfast Show is 3 hours long, but if you turn on at any time, you never feel you've missed anything because of the way the programme is made.
And the programme is constructed in bursts. The same half hour more or less contains the same thing. Like at between 6 and 6.30, you'll get news every 20 minutes, you'll get travel, you'll get sport, you'll get records. And 7 to 7.30, you'll get the same thing again. 8 to 8.30, we've got the competition in. But we try and assume that if people are only listening for those periods of time, it's important actually to repeat the information so everybody does get it.
Yes, that's true. I only manage about 20 minutes of radio in the morning for the news and the weather and a bit of fun. Sometimes, though, the radio is also useful for hearing about other programmes which will be on later in the day or later in the week. These announcements are called trails and could be for a play, a live radio concert, or an important interview, or indeed, a very important programme.
The brand new UK Top 40.
Hi, this is Mark Goodyear, tuned to 1FM today at 4.30 for the nation's favourite chart show. 2.5 hours of the biggest hits, the new entries and climbers, and hear what's number one, the weekly 1FM UK Top 40, today at 4.30. It's the only chart that counts. Now you know why we played that trail. There is an awful lot of hard work to put The Breakfast Show together, but both Simon and Rick agree it's worthwhile.
I'm very proud to be working on the Breakfast Show and seeing the figures coming in and knowing that, you know, we're responsible for the biggest Breakfast Show, the biggest programme in the world.
There is actually no difference between doing this show and doing shift work. There are shift workers up and down the country who, every time someone says to me, how do you manage to, you know, get up so early, they must think, well, I get up early and I've got, you know, I've just cleaned toilets or something. So it's just like shift work, so it's exactly the same approach as that. It is the only show worth doing, which makes it worthwhile when you go to bed before the kids next door, which is a bit of a pain. The thing that makes it worthwhile is the fact that you're going to have the biggest audience of any other radio programme you could imagine, so that's always just a little incentive.
And I suppose he's right. There are lots of postmen and women, milkmen, nurses, doctors, and others too, who do just as awful hours, and we never think of them. But at least they have great music, valuable information, and lots of friendly voices to listen to. As for me, I'd much rather be listening in my bed, and I don't care how often they play that jingle.
Wake up! You know you gotta, you don't wanna, but you gotta, 'cause it's time to wake up! Take a look at the clock! Shake the sleep from your head, get yourself out of bed, 'cause Simon is here to put your system in shock! Wake up!
That programme was presented by Mark Goodyear and written and produced by Lucy Conan.